Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I am your host, Mike DeCamp, and I'm here with...
Nancy DeCamp. Hello.
The hostess with the mostess.
Yep.
And we have with us a couple of new guests.
Yes.
We have Marcella Snyder.
Hello.
And we have John Parkin.
Howdy.
And they are the owners of the Tibbs Drive-In. Located where?
Indianapolis, Indiana. Indianapolis's only outdoor movie theater.
There you go.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And what part of Indianapolis is that located in?
It's just west of downtown. So we're pretty close to like the zoo, right off 70. Excellent location.
480 South Tibbs.
Yep.
There you go.
Awesome. I actually had it in my mind that it was somewhere far way west or something. So that's great.
We're right near
downtown. Trust your mind, Mike. Just don't trust your mind.
No one should trust my mind.
Well, so before we dig into information about your experience in the drive-in and such, it's time for creative indulgence sharing. Mike? Yeah.
Oh, you're going with me first.
Yes, see, you have to go first.
Nancy has this thing where she tries it both with the creative indulgence and with the final random question. She tries to make sure I go before she does. So, okay. So my creative indulgence, I've started a new book.
Yes.
It's by my friend and fellow local author, Matthew Barron.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Waking Terror. It's a paranormal mystery.
Okay.
And I'm not very far into it. Maybe a quarter of the way. It's not unlike the Stephen King fairy tale book that I recently read. It's not 3 inches thick. It's only about a half inch thick. So I'll be able to finish it probably before the next episode, I'm sure. But it follows an insurance investigator.
That's scary.
Yes. And he's investigating the death of a woman and obviously runs into some paranormal stuff. Hmm. So it was set up very well. So it's set up like, you know, the, like Matthew has actually met this person and this person has sent him real notes about real cases. Now I haven't asked Matthew about if that's just a ploy or if that's real, but it at any rate, it's set up really well. And I'm to the point where the investigator has encountered the paranormal for the first time.
Okay.
And so, but I was on an airplane and so I had to, I had to put it down for a little bit. So anyway, that's my creative indulgence is Waking Terror, a paranormal mystery by Matthew Barron.
There you go. If you're into paranormal mysteries, might have to check it out, right?
Yeah. Marcella?
Ooh, yeah. Wait, before we go on though, I want to hear a little bit more about this local author. How is he like prolific? How many books are we talking?
You know, I'm not sure how many books Matthew has. It's several.
Okay.
I actually shared a table with him at a recent book fair last fall, and we traded books. And I think that
the local author community is very supportive, and you know they get to know each other. And
And Matthew's a good guy. We need to have Matthew on the podcast.
Yeah, Matthew, come on out.
Yeah, Matthew, where are you at? But it's he's got multiple books. I wasn't expecting that question, or I would have looked it up. But he's got a number of books, and they're all. I kind of think they follow this kind of paranormal pattern.
Very cool.
For the most part, or sci-fi and fantasy.
I only ask because I'm an Indiana transplant, so I'm learning about the local arts. And
there you go.
Okay.
Marcella mentioned you had a few books published before mm-hmm. we came over here, too, so it's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be glad to share the details of those later if you'd like to know. Where are you transplanted from?
I grew up out west, so I'm from Utah and Arizona.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
So it's a little soggier here.
Yes, definitely. Less just sunshine, too.
Just a little bit soggy.
Also, you know, less snow.
There's less snow.
Yeah. So back to Marcella. Hello. Do you have a creative indulgence that you've indulged in recently?
Yeah. So we actually are not big drinkers. He's obviously from Utah, but that has nothing to do with it.
Right.
So I bought him a wine vent calendar for Christmas. One of those Costco ones.
Sure.
Little tiny half bottles. Cause we're not good at drinking.
Right. Right.
At all.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you really want to get good at drinking. Those who get good at drinking usually end up with some sort of issues.
Yeah.
But, recently we started, going to, I don't want to say nicer restaurants, but more eclectic restaurants and trying different foods. And we started doing wine pairings with it. And so I bought the wine vent calendar and then we paired them with food. So we've been cooking a lot together.
Oh, fun.
And I didn't realize how easy some cuisines were. Like we made hot and sour soup. I didn't realize how easy it was to make hot and sour soup.
I know. She just gave me the recipe too, Mike. So
Hot and sour soup is one of my favorite.
One of his favorites. Soups. Yeah.
This recipe, the recipe I sent her is delicious. I'm not a big fan usually, but he loves it. And so we cooked it delicious and meatballs too. We made a really good Italian meatball recently. I'll have to find the recipe. It was delicious.
Honestly, I've thought about them ever since every day of my life.
Well, I do have a claim to fame on homemade meatballs and homemade sauce. We learned from an Italian family.
Pennsylvania.
We call it the sauce.
The sauce.
So we'll have to maybe have a
recipe. Ooh, we'll cook together.
Yes.
Have a meatball off.
Meatball and hot and sour soup dinner. Yes. Italian Chinese combination.
I'm going to drill all over your mic here.
Yeah. We did it. Do you do it with pork and beef? The meatballs?
It depends.
Okay.
Sometimes, but it just depends.
We did pork, beef and bacon.
Oh yeah.
You know, I haven't had lunch yet. You're making me hungry.
Well, that sounds like a fun indulgence, pairing those up someday and trying them.
Someday I'll tell you where my first encounter with hot and sour soup. There's actually a story behind that, but it's not that interesting. So we will leave it off the podcast.
I like that we've gone to the food direction here with our drive-in podcast.
Yeah.
We may go anywhere. You never know where this is going to go.
It's very creative.
So that's your indulgences.
John, do you have another one?
Just a comment on that. She is a fantastic cook, and I'm a 43-year-old man and still learning. You know, some of the basics. And she has been kind and patient about it, but she is really good at what she does. So I'm lucky.
That's good to have a good cook in the house, huh?
Yeah,
we should have a Nancy and Marcella podcast episode about creative cooking.
Yeah.
We had one about creative cooking during the pandemic. And we talked about some of the stuff you were doing during the pandemic, the early pandemic. But we should revisit that with an episode. And you guys can just talk about your fun, creative cooking adventures.
Let's take a trip to Saraga and get something silly to cook together.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Octopus.
Totally.
Marcella, you sound a little bit like NPR right now. I'm thinking about that SNL episode. You're really getting the vibe of
I used to do that when I worked at FedEx. I used to do that a lot because I'd have to radio in and I'd be like, hello, I've got the weight for this can. I'm going on to aircraft 80576.
Bust out the best NPR voice.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So John, what was your creative indulgence?
So I have, ever since I was a kid, I remember my first, I had one of those little Fisher Price Brown tape recorders, and I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I got a tape from my neighbor. His name was Brandon, and he had a BMX bike and one of those really cool DuckTales, you know, from the 80s. So I was super into it and into him and how cool he was. And he gave me a Bon Jovi tape. Right. And this was early 80s. And ever since that moment, I played that tape on my little Fisher Price recorder. I've been huge into music. And, so lately I've been really into a performer. Her name is Wiseblood. And she used to be this is getting ambient, but kind of a noise artist in New York. And she evolved her sound into kind of a 70s pop, shimmery sound, all very Carpenters-esque.
Really?
Yeah. So it sounds like you're listening to the 70s, but it's, you know, records that dropped this year and 2 years ago, but, Andromeda, is Titanic Rising is the name of the album, but a good song to check out is Andromeda from that record. It'll give you a good flavor of what she's about. But so it'll be in my, I get obsessive about things. So that's my thing this week. Next week, it'll be a totally different band or artist. And, you know, it'll be one of those things where I'm up till 2 a.m. listening to their whole back catalog. while Marcella's drifting off to sleep. And I'll get the nudge to turn off my lamp a couple of hours in. But yeah, so I big into that artist lately.
What was her name again?
Wise Blood. It's spelled W-E-Y-E-S. Blood.
W-Y-E?
W-E-Y-E-S.
Okay. Yeah.
Like way-yes almost, but it's pronounced Wise Blood.
Got it.
Nancy's making notes because she's planning. She'll go check it out.
I will check it out. I'm a big music person. So awesome.
She often downloads stuff that's, you know, relatively, I don't know if I want to say obscure, but not in the major,
eclectic. Like
major top 40 kind of stuff. So
I do enjoy some of the top 40 stuff, but yeah, I'm all over the place.
Oh, that's great. And I, you know, just to tag on one more thing, I'm learning how to do things like mend fences and hang gutters. I've never had to do that before. And I don't know if that's creative or not, but
maybe how you do it is. Yeah. I mean, how much duct tape do you use? Or
I'm learning the difference between a roofing screw and a metal screw and all that stuff. But yeah, that's been kind of my physical creativity lately is repair work in the drive-in.
Looking at the water standing in my backyard, I might need.
You're going to have to get creative in some aqua.
Yeah, some
experience
culvert cleaning.
Yeah.
Well, let's shift on over to the main.
You don't want to hear my creative indulgence?
You know what? You make a fine point. I apologize. Let's hear.
We were all terrified of being one-upped by you.
So. Well,
thank you, John.
My creative indulgence is somewhat related to music.
Okay.
My creative indulgence, though, is related specifically to fashion for music. Because I'm going in a few weeks to see Lizzo, and you can't go see Lizzo without the appropriate attire. So I've been searching around and I'm all ready. I have like a red sequin shirt, and the most exciting part is I found some red shiny tennis shoes.
I call them ruby slippers.
My ruby slippers.
I'm changing your name to Dorothy.
So that's my creative indulgence, is kind of leaning into what sparkly stuff I'm going to wear at the Lizzo concert.
Excited cool. for you.
We're going to have to get some pictures of that.
Yeah.
So
okay. So now let's
are you ready
carry
to,
on,
ready
Mike.
To transition? See, I'm used to getting you on the first one, so you go first.
It just threw you all off.
You get me in the end, and you know, then it's all fair. But all right, so we're here. We're going to talk with Marcella and John about drive-in theaters. So, you know, there's probably some listeners out there who think, do those still exist? Because I can tell you that when I was a kid, I grew up in Muncie, Indiana, and there were two drive-in theaters in Muncie, the Sky High Drive-In and the Muncie Drive-In. And I did visit the drive-in with my sister. She was 17 when I was born. So she's, you know, in her mid-20s when she's taking me to the drive-in. And I don't know if I should tell you the movies I saw.
Not the best choices, right? No, not the best choices, but you went quite frequently, right?
They weren't the best choices for adults, but they, you know, here I was a kid going to these drive-ins, seeing things. And then there was another drive-in that was north of us in Blackford County. It was the Blackford County Drive-In.
That wasn't one of those XXX.
It was. It was. So we'd hear about it on the radio constantly.
I think there's one in Southern Indiana that still does Triple X movies.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah, I think so. They still exist. Well, one just closed. I don't remember. I think it was in New York State. It was one of the adult drive-ins just closed. There was a big to-do about it. And I was like, well, I didn't think that those were a thing anymore. But okay.
But I guess they still are. So you talked about talking about drive-ins. So Tibbs is the only one in Indianapolis area, correct?
Yep. Not the Triple X one.
Not a Triple X one. Okay. So
yet. I'm
working on it. Yeah, you haven't tried that one yet, huh?
But how many are there across the country? And
it's a little over 300 right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So Indiana is the fifth most drive-in populated state.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So there are none in Hawaii or Alaska.
Well,
okay. Yeah, those are the only two states that have zero drive-ins. Indiana, I think it was 19 2 years ago. And so I don't know if one of them has closed recently or like, I haven't gotten that information yet, but New York's number one, most drive-ins in the country.
Yeah. Now I feel like I saw a show one time where they have them that are like rooftop.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So would you really classify that as a drive-in?
I mean, are you driving your car and parking? Although people do argue because during the pandemic, they had a lot of parking lot drive-ins.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they're like, well, that's not a real drive-in. That's a fake drive-in. But it doesn't really, I guess, count. They showed movies, but it wasn't.
It's not a drive-in, right?
There's no concession
stand. They drove in to watch it.
They did.
A lot of them were attached to traditional movie theaters, too.
Yeah. So
they would sell concessions inside, and then you could go outside in the car and watch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
But they even did them at Walmarts. They would just pop a screen out at Walmart. You go inside Walmart, get your snacks, come out, watch a movie.
And call those pop-up drive-ins or something like pop-ups. That, right? Mm-hmm.
And it was very reactive to the pandemic because drive-ins themselves had seen a real big resurgence. And so as you got into year, you know, one and a half of the pandemic, then you started seeing all these other people trying to capitalize.
Yeah, yeah.
On that, which, you know, for us was great. It just further cemented that into kind of American culture and as an alternative, so.
Yeah, sure. And the biggest problem, I think, nationally is property values are so high and most drive-in owners are in their golden years. And so they're looking to retire.
Sure.
And they didn't have an exit plan because they didn't really need one. And now their exit plan is just property sale and not drive-in sale because no one's going to be able to afford 4 acres in upstate New York
right.
to keep a drive-in alive.
Right. Yeah. And because it's seasonal.
It is seasonal.
And we've kept our eye on, you know, drive-ins as they go up for sale and things like that. And there have been, that 300 number she just mentioned may not be this, because there's been a lot of them that have sold. And a lot of it is due to exactly what she said, the property value skyrocketing. So when you used to be able to buy a drive-in, for under $1 million somewhere, now, something might go up in New York and it'll be $8.5 million for 24 acres.
Wow.
Not 20. No, you're talking like 3 acres.
Yeah. The price is really.
It's in the Catskills.
Insane. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And people trying to sustain $8 million loan on a drive-in income is never going to happen.
Right.
So,
right.
Walmart buys a property.
They're all very small too. So, 3 acres will get you one screen. And if you can park 200 cars there, you're never going to make it.
Yeah. So you guys have 4 screens, right?
We do.
So how many cars can you park at Tibbs?
1,470. we're working on that though. So the parking setup is really outdated.
You guys, this is another creative indulgence coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do tell.
So, I mean, what I remember is you pull in.
Next to a pole with the speaker. Yeah,
you got a little bit of an incline. So there's like a rows of little hills that you kind of pull up on.
Not anymore.
Get to a little microphone
thing. You're dating yourself.
Let me finish. Let me finish, young lady.
Go on.
So you hang the little microphone thing inside your window and. There you go. She's got a tattoo on her arm of a drive-in microphone thing. What do you call it?
Speaker.
Speaker. So, so everybody just kind of sits their cars aiming it toward the screen and that's how you go. Unless you got a pickup truck, then you might back in and sit in the bed, right? But
yep. A lot of people throw inflatable mattress back there, but our parking setup is a little bit different than that. So that is a traditional, that's how the setup is in Colorado. We have a drive-in in Colorado as well.
Oh, you have another one.
Yeah. Pueblo, Colorado. Hey, hey.
Mesa Drive-In.
The Mesa Drive-In. Yep, shout out. So that's how the setup is there. It's individual rows. They all have the hills that you park on to point up at the screen. Tibbs doesn't have that. And they actually, each of their rows is a double row. So you have a row of cars in front and a row of SUVs or trucks in right behind them. And we have found that most people don't drive cars anymore. Uh-huh. So when your lot is 50-50 car SUV, you have a lot of empty spaces.
And that's empty income
because
people aren't coming in.
Well, and it's unhappy customers too, right? Like if you're in a truck or a small SUV and you have to park in the back of the row and then a car parks right in front of you, you can't sit out in front of your car, you can't spread out.
Right.
And you may or may not be able to see depending on the size of the hatchback in front of you and your car. So we're trying to redo the parking so that it is just individual rows. We're going to lose some spaces. Fine. Like we'd rather everyone be happier and it'd be more seamless, but so we're working on that. Unfortunately, we don't have speakers anymore. I know there are a handful of drive-ins in the country that do have speakers. If you Google it, you can find them. I think there's one in Tennessee that still does that I know of.
Do people listen to it through their phones or how's the speaker system work?
So we do FM broadcast.
Yeah. Car radio.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So you're listening through your radio.
Yep. You tune in through your radio.
That was actually something that was starting to come along quite a while ago. I remember that when I was
really
in my 20s.
Yeah, they transitioned that in the 90s.
Yeah,
at the tips.
Yeah. And maintenance was a big part of that because people forget the speaker was on their car.
Yeah, and they pull away,
Or they take it on purpose.
Well, yeah.
So that has resolved itself. But I am hearing just another challenge that automobile manufacturers are going to stop putting actual radios in cars, you know, within 2030 or something like that. So we're going to have to figure something else out. But
you got a day or two to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. As you know, even as I drive around, I seldom listen to the radio. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to Pandora on my phone.
That or a podcast.
Hooked up through the speakers. Yeah.
Yep. And your emergency, you know, information now comes in through your phone. And
yep.
So, yeah, anyway, so it's another challenge we'll have to face, wouldn't it?
So why a drive-in? Why did you choose to go into this drive-in
business? Because we're insane.
Well, I can probably vouch for a little of that, at least for
Nancy
Marcella. Knows,
Nancy and Marcella know each other outside of podcasting. Yeah. They've hit each other. They've actually punched one another. Yeah. Has she given you the eyes?
Oh,
She's got these eyes, right?
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
that's my only lethal weapon. Otherwise, it's
Thankfully, she doesn't use them at home.
They're captivating,
terrifying.
So back to the
So it was my first job.
Okay,
I was 14, which is still legal in Indiana. I was 14, worked there during the summer, and it was actually my older brother's first job too. It was my younger brother's first job. So we just grew up around the drive-in. It was my first job. I worked there. And then I worked there all through high school and when I went to college. And about 25, the previous owners were like, hey, how would you like to own a drive-in one day? And that was when they kind of started me thinking about purchasing the drive-in. Mm-hmm. And it was a big purchase. It's 24 acres in the middle of downtown Indianapolis.
Right, like, right.
Yeah, really. That would pull some dollars just for the acreage, right?
Yep. That was the biggest part of our purchase. But then not to mention like the projectors.
Yeah.
A brand new digital projector is $100,000. So, obviously ours aren't brand new, but we still had to buy them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was interested in that. I met John when I was about 20, I think I was 25, 26. So right about the time that they were talking about taking this over was when I met John. He of course lived in Utah. and then I dragged him across the country to Indiana, eventually. And we had just talked about it the whole time. So, you know, he knew that this was something that I wanted to do and, you know, I would have to walk away from it if I moved to Utah. And then eventually it just made more sense for him to come here. And we started the purchase process in 2018, finished in 2019.
And we found out that the purchase was a possibility. We had kind of gone back and forth for 3 years where they were going to sell it. And then they decided they didn't want to sell it. And they said, go. And we signed a purchase agreement and had 4 months to come up with 10% of this.
Yeah.
So we lived like we literally saved every bit of cash that we had. So we lived on credit cards and just put our paychecks in the bank. We did everything from, I started playing like online trivia incessantly and started winning money doing that. I think we won over $28,000 playing a trivia game to help to get money for the down payment. And I think we made it by $200, like by the time we had to sign on the dotted line. And you know, she has been insanely brave about the whole thing, you know, reassuring. Cause the whole time I was like, drive-in, are you sure? I mean, Netflix and
right,
you know, all this stuff is coming up and she's like, no, it'll be fine. We'll be great. And it's been such an incredible experience and it's really cool just to kind of watch her go, like just watch her do her thing. And, I'm rambling here a little bit, but point is we really just kind of joined forces and changed our lives in order to make this purchase happen. And now it is our family.
Very cool. And really, quite honestly, with the pandemic, kind of good timing.
Oh, at first it was terrifying though.
Yeah. The previous owners emailed us after we reopened in 2020 and they were like, we are so glad that you bought it because we would have never made it. They were like, we have no idea how you are doing what you're doing, but we would have never done it.
That's a whole different.
In a million years. Yeah. We had to transition. So we were just a drive-in movie theater. And then in the pandemic, 2020, we hosted like 60 plus events. Never had hosted an event at the drive-in before.
Really? Like what kind of events?
Everything. Middle school graduations, black tie fundraising galas for hospitals, you know, employee appreciation events.
Indiana Pacers,
Indiana Black Expo came out, Indiana Pride came out. Everybody had all of their events at the drive-in because it was the only place you could go.
Right.
We hosted comedians, national touring comedians. Yep. Like Bert Kreischer and...
Bert Kreischer, Nate Bergazzi. Hannibal Buress came out. Who's that musician that everybody likes? The one that's like, you gotta show up if you want to get paid. Yeah,
he's the, our minds just totally went blank, but he performs in a bathrobe and his underwear.
Yeah, he does like electronica music. Yeah, he's really silly.
Yeah, and he drove around the whole, like people were in their cars and he drove around in a golf cart, you know, with like lights and stuff. And we were projecting stuff on the screen and just turned the whole place into a big concert event.
We did on-screen concerts. So, Garth Brooks came out of retirement, did an on-screen concert. That was the first one we did at the drive-in. So it was like a live concert on screen.
But they were doing that for drive-ins across the country once because people couldn't go to concerts. And so it was just kind of a live event. So, so we had to pivot into that. And then no studios were releasing films at that time because they were all locked down.
Yeah.
So we went
really dark on new movies. Yeah, sure.
So we were showing things like we'd have a crazy for Swayze weekend where we have a Patrick Swayze marathon.
We
played a lot of old horror films and stuff, and that was a lot of fun to do. We do Halloween in July, and we just had to come up with a lot of different creative things that we never thought we would. The part that was really scary about that too, is that we were inside Marion County. And so when Marion County tended to be a lot more
strict in all of their regulations.
So we were just waiting and we were just like, we can open, we can do this safely. Let us open. And for 6 to 8 weeks, I think all the way through May, we had to just sit on our hands. And, and that was literally, we'd owned the drive-in from the May the year before.
Less than a year.
So we had half a season of earnings.
Yep. Right.
And then we just had to sit on that and clear until the next year when it started in May again. And we were just like, hell of a time to buy a business.
Yeah. Well, and unlike most drive-in owners, like I said, they're all golden year right now.
Yeah.
We have a business loan.
Right.
Most of these people, it is generational. Like the Benjis in Pennsylvania, he inherited it from his grandfather. So he has never had a business loan.
Yeah.
And, we took on this big business loan and then all of a sudden can't open.
Yeah. So it was terrifying for a moment.
But honestly, it was a blessing because now we have private events.
Well, I was going to say, are you continuing to host private events as needed?
Yeah, we are. And it is not only as needed, but a lot of corporations are coming and returning. So we've had like the Any Monumental Awards comes to the drive-in every year now. They had it in 2020 and they said that they got their biggest turnout ever last year. Year four of having it there. And they said, everyone has having so much more fun. We used to do it at the Indiana Roof Ballroom. Yeah. It was so stuffy. And now we just invite people out for nachos and a beer and they watch the award ceremony on the
too screen. Fun.
Yeah.
We have a big event with Cliff Bar every year.
Yep.
They do a big employee appreciation where they'll rent two screens on the theater for 2 weekends in a row. Because they have two different shifts.
Right.
So that way they can have their entire employee base come out and do some stuff with us. And anyway, it's evolved and it evolved quickly, but, here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned beer and nachos. Let's talk concessions.
So we don't sell alcohol.
Do you permit it? Legally at this time, no.
So legally you can drink there because it's private property. And so there's no laws against you bringing in your own alcohol. Mm-hmm. We, of course, would like the city of Indianapolis to be responsible and considerate of their fellow moviegoers and also, you know, the other motorists on the streets.
Right, right.
But we're not going to search a trunk or anything.
Sure, like sure.
You're not encouraging.
And it's not something you serve, right? You have liquor license and all that kind of thing for it.
Okay. We don't. Yep. We understand you can't stop 100% of everything. Right,
right. Right.
Yeah, people need to be responsible, and if they keep it to themselves, we don't.
Can bring their own food and such in too, but do you still see them using the concessions a lot, or?
Yeah, we are an affordable venue for family, so we understand, and you know, there are picky kids, and
I gotta tell a story.
Go ahead.
So,
I don't know if you should.
My sister used to take, like I said, she used to take me to the drive-in when I was a kid, and her son is 4 years younger than me. And so we kind of
like brothers.
We're more like brothers than uncle nephew. Mm-hmm. And so we're always these two kids sitting in the back seat. She's in the front, and she would always make popcorn at home.
Yeah.
And we would bring drinks from home, and we weren't allowed to use the concession stand. So we had our own private popcorn and our own private collection of drinks. And I'm not going to tell the rest of it.
Yeah, you should not. I told you.
Nancy says I can't.
No, and I told you.
It's,
but that was a very common practice. My nephew will
tell it. He loves to tell it because it's embarrassing to me. So he loves to tell it. But
that was a very common practice, was to bring your own snacks or what have you.
It still is.
And we stay open on ticket sales, but we pay our bills with concessions.
Sure, right? Sure.
So we are in competition with people who would bring their own food. And we're in competition with other movie theaters too. So you can come see a movie at the Tibbs, two movies, because you can, it's just one entry fee and then you can stay for as long as you like. So you can catch two movies for the price of a regular movie ticket. And then we sell our concession.
Less than a regular movie
ticket. Yeah, less than a regular movie ticket now. And then we sell our concessions at a fraction of what movie theaters do. So if you come to the Tibbs, you're saving, you know, 40% on what you would spend if you took your family to a traditional movie theater for one movie, right? So we have to, that bringing of snacks thing is okay. But be mindful. Yeah. But we would always encourage people to check out our concession stand too, because the prices are definitely affordable. Yeah. And, that's kind of how we, you know, keep the lights on and keep going. So,
one thing I saw in concessions was funnel fries.
Oh my goodness. you really are trying to make me hungry too.
Besides popcorn, that's probably a number one seller.
What are funnel fries?
Exactly what they sound like.
Like, think of a little funnel cake.
A little bit of heaven.
Yeah.
Funnel cakes.
Yeah. But in a fry form.
A cinnamon sugar covered order of funnel fries. French. Funnel cakes shaped like French fries.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, man. We can destroy any diet at the Tibbs. We are professional diet crushers. But we make a funnel fry sundae. So it's funnel fries with vanilla ice cream, chocolate sauce on top of it, and whipped cream, and you can use the funnel fries to eat the ice cream with. And I mean, it's like I said, we are definitely not the place for a diet.
leave your diet at the door.
Yeah,
not a health conscious kind of place. So popcorn's number one seller, but funnel cakes is
a solid too.
Yep. Yeah, and so you have lots of candy, but you also have hot entrees.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So we do offer a lot of actual food. and we're very conscious of various dietary restrictions. So, you know, we have a list of all of the things that are vegan. The popcorn is technically vegan because we pop in coconut oil. And then the butter topping that we use is soy based. So if you're a vegan, you can eat the popcorn.
There you go.
The pretzels are vegan. We have all beef hot dogs for those who may be Muslim and don't eat pork. Our corn dogs are actually chicken, so you can have a corn dog because they also don't have pork. So we're very conscious of.
But you have breaded tenderloins.
We do have breaded
tenderloins. I'm sure that's pork.
It's Indian.
Pork, that is absolutely pork.
Yeah. We do. We just try to be conscious and have something for everybody.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I'm very hungry now.
Yeah.
Very hungry.
We do even have watermelon and things like that in the summertime for people that don't want to destroy their diets.
Yeah, whole pickles, watermelon, you know. Yeah. And I didn't realize that whole pickles weren't a thing everywhere else. Like, is that not a thing? I have always seen whole pickles at the drive-in. Like,
well, I don't know that I've always seen them at a drive-in, but I see them around games at different places. Yeah.
No, outdoor stuff. It's cold. It's salty.
And people are surprised when they see them?
I guess. I don't know. I saw an article the other day, something about whole pickles and how it was a drive-in thing. And I was like, really?
Yeah. I never really thought of it as a drive-in thing.
I know. Like, who doesn't love a big jar of pickles?
So how do you pick films? How does that work?
Out of a hat.
Yeah.
Really?
No. The films pick us.
No. They speak to you.
Yeah. And do you have certain standards on what you select, that kind of thing? And, you know, Where do they come from?
Well, we try to shy away from the XXX stuff that we talked about. No,
although we did show Midsommar, and that is X and Pearl. Those were very
risque.
We'll show hard R movies.
But we give a warning.
But we usually let people know that.
So they're informed.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we...
That would be the signal for my sister to take me to the theater, yeah. to the movie, to well, the drive-in.
Back in the day when we had, you had the video rental places, yeah. My one of my funny stories is that with the girls then, we went and they could pick a video and they got one and it was like the Babysitter's Club. Mm. Cool. We come home, they put it in and I'm, you know, watching, I'm doing some stuff around the room and I'm watching it. No, the Babysitter, which was not... a kid's show.
Oh no.
Had gotten placed into the Babysitter's oh. Club. So we took that back and got an exchange.
That was a bit of a problem.
Sounds like it.
All right. So back to where do you get to movies and your selection and that kind of thing.
So we are a first run movie theater. Yep. So we show all current releases and new releases.
Well, not all.
Well, yeah, as many as we can on four screens.
Yeah.
Before we go on, we've been talking about Tibbs because we're sitting here in Indianapolis and you guys live in Indianapolis, but you own the theater in Colorado also.
La Mesa.
And we have listeners all over the country. So don't be afraid to kind of talk about that theater as well.
Yeah. Sure thing.
And elaborate on that.
What's the same, what's different, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's a little harder out there than it is here. So like John mentioned, we do first run. But with first run, you have to carry it for a minimum amount of time just based on.
Yeah. When you sign a contract with the theater, they'll say it's a three week run at least, or a 2 week run or whatever it might be.
And so it's a little more difficult, so the Mesa has two screens and the Tibbs has four. So it's a little more difficult to bring in, especially, you know, this summer, there are some months where you got eight releases in the month
and we
can't put them all on screen at the Mesa because it is a smaller theater. Mm-hmm. But we will try our best to like cycle them through the season. So we actually have a booking agent that we work with. He is miraculous. His name is Matt. We love him. And he actually gets to screen all of the movies.
Really?
Yes. So
that's convenient.
Yeah. It's one of those laws where you have to be able to see your product before you sell it. Right. Mm-hmm. So legally they have to let us screen it if we want to. So he goes and screens all the movies and then he kind of gives us insight about what to expect, how he thinks it's going to play with our various crowds, because obviously the community here in Indianapolis is a little bit different than the community in Mesa.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so things are more popular there that aren't popular here, vice versa. And we do like to play the big releases. You know, everybody loves a summer blockbuster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't want to go watch, you know, John Wick 4, but we also have tried to dip into more artsy stuff as well, because we like that type of stuff.
Yeah. We'll support smaller studios as often as we can.
Sure.
But a lot of it is, you have to kind of play, I wouldn't say politics, but a lot of it is very business oriented. So Sony wants to play, like if Sony has a release in March and then they have a new release in May, they'll want to pair it with one of their own movies, because I don't know if this is common knowledge for everyone, but you can, if you have a double feature playing, you can count those proceeds or the earnings towards both movies. So they can pad the earnings of their movie that they released in March by pairing it with a movie that comes out in May.
I don't know if we're allowed to talk about.
Or, well, maybe we're not. I think it's pretty common knowledge.
How the business runs kind of thing. Yeah.
But so the studio is always interested in playing movies with them, their own movies. So sometimes a lot of it is kind of finding out which studios will play nice with each other.
Yeah.
You know,
Because
sometimes if you wanted to play a Disney movie, for example, with a Universal movie, those are very rival studios.
Right.
And they're not going to
You don't want to hit competitors. I mean, a very common business practice, right?
Well, and it's really what happens is the percentage that you have to pay back to the studios becomes much higher. So, for example, if you're pairing movies from the same studio, they're a lot better about the total percentage that you pay them, right?
It makes sense.
So,
but, you know, some movies like the episode one of Star Wars that came out in the early 90s, the drive-in didn't pick up because they wanted 101% of your box office. You had to pay them 1% to take the movie. So, you know.
Well, it is interesting, though, because as you know, Mike being an author and interviewing authors, or we've talked to musicians and just how the business works, it's really is fascinating because it is handled differently depending on the business and the artistic endeavor.
Absolutely.
Back to selling tickets. So how does it work when somebody comes in? Let's say you got two or three people in a car. Is it individual tickets or is it By vehicle,
or
so we don't do carload anymore. It's too basically the studios don't want us to do.
Yeah, the accounting gets fishy. on carloads because they want to know how many people are coming to their movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you catch people like trying to sneak in then, you know, covered up in the back under a blanket?
That's a drive-in thing, culture thing, right?
Yeah. All the time.
Always. And it is always so obvious too, because I shouldn't give away any secrets here, but like someone will pull up with a Suburban, right? It'll be like one guy, one 17-year-old. And then it'll be like two drinks in the front and a purse in the front seat. And you're just kind of like, all right. So we always just...
You look at him, you're like, nice purse.
Yeah. And wow. So we'll
radio
it.
Wait till they get in.
Yeah, we'll radio it into our security and say, hey, see how many people come out of this car. And mm-hmm. if more than one person comes out, bust them and send them back up to pay. And we usually charge people twice.
Yep.
Or double if they try to sneak in.
You gotta pay double.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
That seems fair.
It's either that or leave.
Right.
Because I mean, it's stealing. I mean,
it is.
Well, people don't see it that way. They don't realize that, you know, they're actually stealing revenue out of your pocket.
Yeah. And so we should say this too, the TIBS we run, I mean, Marcel and I have day jobs.
Sure.
And so we run the TIBS as kind of a labor of love really. And we don't take, you know,
you don't have a CEO salary from the TIBS.
Yeah, we don't even have a salary right now.
Yeah, we're not even paying ourselves because we have to make sure that we can cover everyone else's paychecks and everything else too. But the expenses are astronomical. Like last year we had to put in an $80,000 fence, and this year we've spent $25,000 on a plumbing repair already.
Yep. And we talked about the floor.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've got to rebuild ticket booths and we have to rebuild fencing and.
Well, hence your creative indulgence in different roof and.
Yep.
Well, and really the creative indulgence part comes in maintaining the retro feel of the drive-in.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When we replaced the floor, it was terrazzo. So we put terrazzo back in and it was ridiculously expensive compared to just pouring concrete in. Right. But we were like, you know what? Every time I look at this big stripe of concrete, I'm going to be sad. I may as well just put the terrazzo in, like bite the bullet, put the terrazzo in, maintain the building, you know, in its natural 1967 state.
It's a historical landmark to us. Yeah. So we try to treat it that way. So
talking retro, I remember going to the theater and there was always a cartoon at the beginning. Yeah. Do you guys still do the cartoon thing?
So we have considered it. I know some drive-ins still do like a cartoon intermission. But we actually work with local businesses for advertising. So a lot of that goes on. We do have the countdown clocks with, you know, the hot dog jumping into the bun and stuff.
Show starts in 5 minutes.
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Show starts in 2 minutes.
Yeah. So we have the countdown clocks, but we do advertising as well. So to try to keep, especially in Indiana because of daylight savings time.
Right.
Show starts really late.
It starts really late in the middle of summer. So we try not to tack on too much beforehand so that it, you know, show can start before 10 PM.
Yeah. You still have a playground?
We do.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that too.
We have a merry-go-round too.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It has to be governed.
Somebody has to be watching it.
Huh? No. There's like an actual governor on the bottom.
To slow it down. Yeah. To keep it from going too fast. Yes. Okay. Well, that's a bummer. I would go out there and play on it right now.
It still goes pretty fast.
And we're looking at ways to expand playground areas too. Yeah. So under screen number 3 and 2, there's some space that we'll fill eventually as well.
Yeah.
And that's what the fencing is for. So the previous owners had a privacy fence up to block out headlights or whatever. But they didn't make use of the entire property. So we found out 2 years ago behind one of the fence lines, there's like an extra 100 feet of property that we own. And we were like, well, what the crap? So we were going to extend it out and, you know, make somewhere nice that you could walk before the movie to take your dogs to go to the bathroom or something.
Sure.
And we were going to push the privacy fence out on the big grassy part of the lot and maybe do something with it.
No. One of our long-term visions is to turn it into a movie park and not just a drive-in movie theater, right? Yeah. So that there are walking paths and maybe soccer fields and, you know, things like that where people can come.
Soccer field's a little bit of a stretch.
Well, we've got a lot of grass we're trying to figure out what to do with at the moment. Yeah. But what we're trying to say is really we want people to be able to come and park their car, you know, a few hours before sundown, toss the football around, have a picnic.
Here's an idea for you.
Love to hear it.
Mini golf.
So we actually talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's extra revenue, right?
Yeah. And there's a local artist and his name is John.
Stommel.
No. That's a different artist.
Oh, John Marks.
John Marks. John Marks goes around to conventions like the horror conventions and stuff like that, or Disney conventions. And he builds these gigantic
He's a prop master.
Yeah, he's a prop master, and he builds these gigantic, cool things out of styrofoam.
Yeah.
And we're talking like, you know, Gozer from Ghostbusters or the Iron Giant, like just huge, larger than life scenes. So we're thinking about, you know, finding a way to preserve those to where they can be in an outdoor setting. So you can go through this walk around the movie theater and, you know, stumble upon this
30 foot
Iron Giant in the woods. And, you know, maybe the,
That would be fun.
Yeah. The dwarves from Disney movies or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway. And then John, you want to tell them about?
One of my friends from high school actually is a muralist. He moved to Portland for a while. His name's John Stommel. And he just recently moved back to Indianapolis, and he met with us yesterday actually to talk about putting some new murals inside the concession stand. We're very excited. Give it a little facelift.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Our oldest daughter, Angela, has done a few murals over the years.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about how you, do you watch all the movies? Are you big into the movies?
So if we didn't have day jobs, we could go to those screenings. But we are big fans of movies. Yeah. We like very different movies from each other.
Yes.
Sounds familiar.
Do tell.
I enjoy the dramas and kind of action stuff. And Marcella loves animation.
Yeah.
Speak to the rest of that. I'll let you talk to your fan favorites. But
I can't do sad, depressing stuff too much. Right. It's too much.
I can watch the news and get
what
that.
What about the horror aspect? Who likes horror and who doesn't like horror?
So we'll watch that together. We just can't do the torture stuff, right? Like the hostels and things, you know, and
the gross bloody stuff.
Yeah. Can't do a hostel. Cause I don't want to watch somebody's Achilles tendons get cut. Right.
Yeah. Like, we call it steal somebody, abduct them. You know,
torture porn is what we call it.
Yeah. Can't watch that. Yeah. But general like thriller, suspenseful horror.
We had this, we had a couple on for the last episode. She's an author and he has written a book, but he's mostly a movie maker. But he likes to make short films, and his short films are, no one survives.
They're creepy. I felt ganged up on all three of the, you know, our two guests and Mike were really into some creepy stuff. And I'm like, yeah, no.
And that's okay. Like we're big into supernatural. I am a big fantasy person, John. Like all the books that I read are very fantasy science fiction, and everything that he reads is very Western gunslinger. So
yeah, I got that. I got that from my grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read all the Louis L'Amour novels when I was a kid.
Oh, cool.
They've stuck with me.
I wonder if the person that you were speaking about, the short filmmaker, we actually do short film festivals at the drive-in. We partner with a guy named Ty Payne. He does a 4-scene film festival. He comes a couple times a year, and they do local Indiana short films.
Really?
Yeah, well, we'll have to let him know.
Alan Wills is the filmmaker that we interviewed.
He opens. He has open submissions for it. They do try to cap it. There was someone who had like a 90-minute movie, and they were like, "Oh, play it." And he's like, "That's not a short film.
Yeah, it's actually a feature length."
Yeah. So, but yeah, so we do that too. You know, we're big on supporting local artists and endeavors.
Well, and local community. You were just telling us you got here. Like, what are the promotions that you have going now? Because you're outdoor people and such. So tell what you've got going on right now for people who are listening.
Driving around Indiana, we see, unfortunately, you know, a lot of litter and stuff like that on the sides of the roads. And Marcel and I are big into the community here. And the Tibbs to us is kind of a family, you know, operation. And so we consider people that come to Tibbs family. And community is very important to us. So we try to get involved in anything we can do to uplift the local community as well. So we thought this year we'd do a promotion on if people pick up 2 full garbage sacks of litter from the side of the road or a park or anywhere that needs it, and document the process, you know, show us the before, the during, and the after video, we'll give them a free carload pass to come in and see the movies for free and bring their family and anyone else they can fit in their car for us, because it's twofold. One, you know, we get to help clean the community up a little bit, and then hopefully people are sharing those videos on their social media and stuff like that, and it kind of spreads love, you know, throughout the city. So
that's a great promotion.
We'll look for little things like that we can do to kind of help out. Because being business owners, I think it's incumbent on us to be responsible for the community, or at least helping the community as well.
Yeah, very much appreciate that. So tell us about how do people find out more information about your drive-ins?
So we do have a beautiful website, tibbsdriveintheater.com. A local web designer built that for us.
Second Street.
Yep, Second Street.
Nice.
Worked with them. They were great. Love
we,
Ryan.
We try to promote local business wherever we can and use them for anything we're using. So,
That's all one word, right?
Tibbs Drive and Theater. Yeah, and theater is spelled R-E, so it's T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
The British way.
Yeah. The way. Stage play way, and not the drive-in way. Right?
Theater.
So that's the way it's always been built. So we just kept it.
Yeah.
So we do have tibbsdriveintheater.com. That's where you can see, all of our show times. The schedule is beautiful. It will populate by day and give you times. And then we do have mesadriveintheater.com as well, which Second Street is working on to refresh for us. It's a little outdated, but that's okay. We're getting a refresh on it, but you'll find all of the show times for Mesa out there. And then we do have pretty active social media. So we have an Instagram and a Facebook and actually a TikTok. For the Tibbs Drive-In.
As long as TikTok is allowed.
Yeah. Well, so we actually had one of our younger employees run the TikTok for us. Unfortunately, she had to leave to take care of her mom when her mom had some issues, but she would run it for us. She was, 18. And she was like, I'm going to make a video of the caramel. And you get 500 views. Okay.
Yeah.
But we always post the schedules on Facebook. We post anything like the promotions on Facebook. We'll put it on Instagram. And then we're working on an Instagram for the Mesa as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Mesa, we should mention, opens on the 21st of April.
Opens in about a month.
But Tibbs is open.
It is open now. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And how long does how long does your season go? Typically.
Usually late March through late October. We try to run the whole pleasant season in Indiana.
Have you ever tried to do like an off season, like a special, like Christmas thing or something like they have?
It did not go well.
The other thing too is the building wasn't built with heat in it because it's a summertime endeavor, right? Yep. And so there's no heat. So we have to shut the water off and winterize it, every year. So
before it starts to freeze up.
Yeah.
So there's really no functional way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to heat the building, right? And using portable heaters to heat the building would get so expensive. And then, if it snows, you can't plow because all the poles are out there. So what are you going to do?
Right.
Yeah. So you'd have to hope for a snowless Christmas, which no one wants. Yeah.
So since you don't have speakers, but you still have poles, is that just to mark parking places then?
Yeah.
And but they were the former speaker poles.
Yes. Exactly. Thing. Yep. And those, as part of our parking revamp to make everything easier for everyone, we'll be rearranging those a little bit. So it's going to look a lot more streamlined and clean out there.
Yeah.
That's more creative endeavor. I'm going to use an auger for the first time in my life. See how that goes. If I can keep on my toes.
You need
toes.
To get that on TikTok. That'll be John's new tools.
Yeah.
And at the drive-in.
I mean, this is just stuff I never thought I'd be doing in my life. Like we're talking about, we have to grade the parking lot.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I don't know
the
first thing about grading, any dirt or gravel. So this will be fun. We'll figure it out. We'll wear safety gear.
I never do that, but I knew of grading because I had an uncle and my grandparents had a farm. So their driveway was quite long. So they would from time to time have to grade the driveway. So I know about it.
I hear that's the way you keep potholes down.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know.
That's why they make people that know how to drive heavy equipment. It makes that process a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very
much. Favorite part about having drive-in.
Honestly, if you walk out in the middle of the field in the summertime when there's a bunch of cars and everyone's radios are on, you can just feel it like inside. It's just like a nice
like
cozy,
a community.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's nice because when you go to a regular movie theater, there may be, depending on the seating that they have, 40 to 100 people in there with you. Mm-hmm. But at the drive-in, there's thousands of people, kids, families.
Yeah.
And it's all right there and you just feel it like inside.
Yeah.
Favorite part of having being part of the drive-in.
Soft serve machine.
Marcella.
Marcella for sure. It's weird. It's weird having an office, like she said, that's 6 feet away from a soft serve ice cream machine.
Does your soft serve machine stay up and running? It's not like certain fast food restaurants that they always say is broken.
Yeah, so we haven't turned it on yet for the season just because snowed last weekend. But, but we still get a lot of requests for it, though. But ours is in beautiful working condition.
Good,
because we take it apart and clean it every night, unlike
certain fast food restaurants
that some of our employees used to work at and told us that they clean them once a month.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
We should say this too, and this is part of Marcella's brilliance, is we've had every health inspection or restaurant inspection that we've had, there have been zero deviations or violations or anything found. And not saying this disparagingly to the previous owners, but things weren't necessarily up to code.
Sure.
And
it's easy to be in that condition or to slip to that. I mean, it takes a lot of diligence.
Yeah. It's more...
Well, I think with any food service location, whether it's a matter of money or effort, that's usually what drives things down or up.
Yep.
People who work hard, who are very focused and targeted on things or consistent, things are taken care of.
We just care a lot about food safety. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's the last thing you want.
Well, in any business, there can be a tendency to be at one of two places. The kind of place where you're like, well, this is good enough versus, hey, we're going to make this the best it can be.
Yep.
Good. And you know, if you're short on cash and you know, you're barely getting by, then, you may be driven toward that good enough. And sometimes that good enough doesn't quite hit that.
Marcella hates good enough. So
we believe that.
Yeah. And then there are things that we have to do. I mean, just financially, there's things that we have to forego. Mm-hmm. We have to decide, we have to make decisions with money every year, but I can tell you that anything that is good enough is aggravating Marcella consciously or subconsciously.
And it will have been things like they were using the same refrigerator for the kitchen for as long as I worked there, 22 years before we bought it or something like that. And first thing I did, nope, that refrigerator's out. Get a new one.
Yeah.
And it makes the kitchen nicer. It makes the workflow nicer. Everyone feels better at work because they can see that you care about their jobs, about the customers, about all of it. And so, you know, it was an investment. We had to buy two brand new fridges. But
give them the example of a mop bucket.
Oh, gosh. So
this is us.
When we went to go visit the Mesa, It was built in 1951, so it is a very old drive-in.
Yeah.
But they hadn't replaced the mop bucket, and I couldn't tell you how long. And it was so old, and it was broken. It didn't work well.
It was cracked and leaking.
Like the first thing I said was, "Oh my god, we have to get them a new mop bucket." Like we didn't even bought it yet, but I was like, "Man, they need a new mop bucket." I don't understand.
And just it was really cool to see the employees. Like it was just a dumb mop bucket, but the fact that we were willing to invest in that made the people that have to use it every day,
demonstrates you care.
Yeah.
I want you to have the right tools.
It gives them some pride in what they're doing.
Yeah. And it's just a small example. I mean, Marcella has done so many things from new cooktops to, metal shelving units that are more up to code and making sure that no food or dry products or anything like that are stored on the floor. You know, it's just like putting in lifts and things like that. There's just a million different examples of stuff that she's done, that go a long way for customers as well as the people that have to use it every day as a job. Right.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So people in Indianapolis area, definitely
outside of Indianapolis too. Yeah. We'll get people come up from Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see definitely the donut counties and surrounding areas for sure. It's convenient, but that's cool.
Well, there are closer drive-ins. I mean, there's one in Bloomington and Spencer, and there's one over in Franklin
and there one in Versailles.
Versailles, yeah. Huh. I guess we
pronounce depends it on where you're from. Yeah.
The French pronunciation.
Yeah.
He's up.
There's all. I mean, they're all over the state, but they came up to us because we did a Jurassic Park Jaws.
Yeah.
And so they drove up from Kentucky to watch Jurassic Park on screen, and they were super excited because we have a Jurassic Park arcade game, and they were like, "Oh my gosh!" And so you know, it's just stuff like that, and they come from out of state. They do that at the Mesa too. They'll come up from New Mexico, go to the Mesa.
People go on drive-in tours. There's a lot of people that are really avid drive-in fans. Yeah.
I could see that being a fun, I'm going to hit all the drive-ins in the country or kind of thing.
Well, in Colorado is a little different. There are only 5 drive-ins in Colorado. Yeah. There's like one in Aspen, one in Denver, the 88. There's us. There's the Frontier over in Western Colorado.
Southwest
Colorado. But there's only 5.
Yeah.
They all do really cool different things. Like the Frontier is like a place where you go to camp. Like, so they have cabins and things set up. And so you go and you camp and you watch movies out there. So it's more of like a drive, you know, 2 hours out of the city and spend some time, you know, under the stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of really cool niche things. Shelbyville up here, they specialize in like B movie monster movies. They have a really cool festival they do every year.
A couple of times a year
where people will buy like a 3-day ticket and they'll camp and they'll just watch, you know, B movies.
Yeah.
You might be into that. They're all old.
Like, that was mean.
No, I mean like they're old, like scary movies.
I don't think that came out right.
Yeah. I didn't take it that way until you mentioned it, John. No,
it's like the brain from outer space.
And yeah, well, you know,
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah. That's the stuff.
Oh, so we actually did that.
When I got to choose the movies that we went to the theater to see, that would be the stuff that we would see. If my sister chose, it might be Nurses, 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 which is a completely different genre of movies. But I the old Hammer films and that kind of stuff, that would be right up my alley. I would enjoy those.
So we do that around Halloween every year. We try not to like elbow into the business model, but we do that stuff. Like last year we did
Screaming Skull,
House on Haunted Hill,
Nosferatu,
stuff like that. So we just pick a bunch of old black and white.
The original Nosferatu? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
A bunch of silly stuff and just put it on around Halloween weekend because everyone's taking their kids out or whatever.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
And they're awesome. So short. They're like 70 minutes long. Yeah, four of them. It's great.
We did a quadruple feature in the time it took us to play two modern movies. Yeah. Wow. So, but yeah, I mean, that's...
And we're very supportive of other drive-ins. Like the competitiveness from us doesn't exist.
Yeah.
No. We're like, yeah, absolutely go to that drive-in. Because we understand we're a big urban drive-in in Indianapolis. And the one in Pueblo is more of a rural drive-in. Mm-hmm. But we understand if you want to go out to Shelbyville, it's a one screen. Or even like Centerbrook in Mooresville, it's a one screen grass lot, much smaller, like more intimate.
Different feel.
Yeah, small town feel. And we are like a monster, you know, just a big 24-acre plot in the middle of the city. So we understand. If you want to go to Shelbyville, go. Have fun. Yeah. Just enjoy the drive-in.
Yeah.
Right. Too Nancy.
Fun. Is it time?
It is time. Ooh. It's time for the random questions.
So you get to choose. Go ahead, select John. The box or select a card. No. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, this is, if I select, you're going to use this against me.
Okay. Yeah. It's okay.
Box or card?
At least choose that. Box or card.
I won't.
She won't do it.
She wants no responsibility.
It's all on you, John.
Let's go box.
All right. Okay.
All right. I got to
pick a question one. Read it. You have to answer it first, John.
All right.
Then the rest of us will all answer.
And Nancy answers before I do.
Was it all one question? Okay. So I've got to answer this first. So I'm on the spot. Have you ever won a contest? So tell us about it. So can we reuse that trivia? Yeah. So I'll tell you about the trivia app that we were on. It was a trivia app where they would pay off student loans with proceeds for people that needed help with
their
college debts.
Yeah.
It was completely random. So you would play this trivia game, and every time you started the game, you'd have to answer questions. And the more questions you answer, the more points you got. So you could run the gamut of answering all these questions, but if you didn't get randomly paired with another team member or teammate that answered well, you know, then your top score just kind of goes by the wayside. So you had to play the game over and over and over again and hope that you did well in the first place, and then hope that you also got paired with somebody else that did well. So it became this super competitive community, and everyone kind of started to get to know each other because they'd see all the people that were in the top. And so eventually I took second place. I was on the second place team literally 14 weeks in a row. And I became a joke because they started calling me the bridesmaid, never a bride. Right? So I was just like in the community referred to that. But we finally broke into, I think we won in November for the first time. I won with my account, and then I won again in February, and Marcella started playing, and she won in March and April, something like that.
Yeah.
But we ended up winning like $28,000 together. And again, that we had to, because that was our drive.
Raising money.
But yeah, so all the proceeds all went to help people pay their student loans off too, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the biggest contest I've ever.
That you've ever won.
I did win an archery contest on a cruise ship once. Remember that? Yeah. And it was just, you were just shooting like a Nerf. It was a real bow, but they had put like a soft Nerf thing on the end of the arrows.
Oh.
And you had to shoot these balls that were on like air tubes. So the balls were just kind of like shooting on the air. And so you had to pick them off out of the air, and I hit all three of them.
Wow.
And won some contest. I don't remember what it was, but
a t-shirt
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the two that come to mind.
Fun. Marcella, how about you?
No, I mean, I guess I can tell you that I won a scholarship in college.
There you go. That's a good contest to win.
Yeah, it was. It was NASA. It was Women in STEM, I think.
Uh-huh. So, uh-huh.
Yep. Because I have a bachelor's in biology.
Yeah.
So I did win that.
Yay.
Very cool.
Nancy?
Well, mine wasn't so altruistic. I've won a few contests.
Wet t-shirt?
The one. No. This one, I was a little girl, and my brother and I were in a twist contest.
Ooh.
And we won I think we got like a $50 savings bond or something.
Amazing.
Back in the day.
This reminds me of Pulp Fiction.
Is it in a lockbox upstairs?
Mm-hmm. No. I don't think so. I think it's long gone.
Mm.
But yeah, myself and my brother Stuart, we won a twist concert at German Park here in Indianapolis when we were kids.
That's awesome.
He was my partner.
Oh, I did. You have skills I didn't know about.
Right? Right?
And Stu apparently has skills I didn't know.
He does, yeah.
Okay.
How about you, Mike? You won a contest?
I won the contest for Nancy's heart.
Ooh.
Good answer.
Yeah. I did beat up some college kids in Muncie to get to her, and I'm making that up. But no. You know, I wrote that question, and I still I'm having trouble thinking of a contest that I've won. But other than I do remember going to the Delaware County Fair. And, you know, they have the arcade games, you know, not on the midway. You got the arcade aisle where the
darts know, with the balloons,
the darts,
and the baseball,
softballs and
rings and sodas.
And my favorite game in there was a horse race. And you would sit at a booth and you had a water jet kind of gun, and you had to keep your water jet gun on the target. And if you kept it on the target, you pushed your horse along the race. And I won a number of little bronze horses sitting at that booth. Actually, I don't know.
I think there's one around the house.
We had one.
Yeah.
We had several of them around here for a while. And in fact, if you won more than one race at a time, you know, you got bigger in the horses. And I did at one time I had a larger horse. So I don't know where I get the money for that, because those were expensive to do, those little races. Games.
We need to go to the fair this year. You can win me a prize.
I could. If it involves shooting a little water jet, I could win you a prize.
Still around. Yeah, you're in good shape.
I suck at all the rest of the games. I can tell you that. But I can maybe win you something at the water
jet. Okay,
game.
Get you a nice mirror with a Harley Davidson on.
There you go.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, folks, thank you for listening in on this episode of the podcast.
Yes.
And Marcella and John, thank you for being here and talking about the drive-in theater business.
Oh yeah, thanks for having us.
Check them out.
And Tibbs, I love your NPR voice.
Yeah, Marcella. Right.
I had a career in broadcasting and I just passed it right up.
You just got to get up here on the microphone.
So tell us the website again.
Tibbs Drive-In Theater, spelled T-R-E at the end, .com.
And awesome. Also MesaDriveIn.com, but there's a hyphen in drive-in in Mesa Drive-In.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Check them out.
Absolutely. So thanks for being here. Thank you, Bill White, here for post-production work. And folks, catch us next time on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.
The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2, a collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.